My name is Nathan, and I'm the campus pastor at Beaver Creek, and I'm excited to share something from God's Word with you this morning. I want to just tell you what we're going to do a little bit. We are in a series, starting a series today called Forget Not. And today and next Sunday, we're just going to talk about remembering what God has done for us. And this is going to be a great exercise for us to do, especially around Thanksgiving. You'll notice that the graphic is an elephant. I've got a story about an elephant I'm going to tell in a few minutes, so wait in anticipation. I will get there, I promise. But I need to start by telling you, I have a terrible memory. Terrible memory. And maybe this is a guy thing, I don't know. But that's probably just an excuse. Because I can remember stats from when I played baseball when I was a kid. It's of no use to me now, but I can remember it. I can remember lines from the stupidest of movies for some reason. So I can remember some things. I can even name the starting lineup for the mid-90s Texas Rangers. But 25 years later, like, what good is that going to do me now? A couple of years ago, I stumbled upon a life hack. And when I stumbled upon this life hack, that wasn't the goal I stumbled on. I didn't know this was gonna happen. But one year, I wasn't sure what to get my wife for her birthday. And I saw something online that I thought, that's it. That's what I'm gonna get for her birthday. It'd be a great gift for her. Not knowing that this was actually going to help me for years to come. What I got her hangs in our living room, and I'm gonna show you a picture of it. Here it is. I got her a sign that just says, first we had each other, and it has our anniversary date. Then we had you and each of the kids and their birth dates. Now we have everything, the Jaeger family. So cute, right? Like, it's a perfect gift to get maybe your wife. So some of you guys are taking notes right now. This was a really good gift. It worked out really well. But what I didn't know was how much this was gonna help me. See, she thought I was getting this for her because I love and value each of these dates, which I do, I promise, I really do. Those are important dates. But do you know how many times I've been filling out paperwork for the kids' school or for insurance, and I had to remember their birthdays? All I've had to do is just turn my head a little bit, and there it is, and they think I've got it down. This was a life hack that really helped me remember some things because memory is so important, isn't it? Memory is so important. And today I want to spend a few moments looking at a passage of scripture that's going to challenge us to remember the works of God, to remember his works. So we're going to spend the next 2 weeks just remembering. And I believe it's going to help put some stuff into perspective for us. In the middle of tension, in the middle of all the busyness, the stress, in the middle of the hurriedness that is our lives right now, let's spend two Sundays that surround Thanksgiving just remembering what God has done and then remembering what God has said. So we're going to be in Psalm chapter 78. So if you have your Bible or your device, I'd invite you to turn there. Psalm chapter 78, we're going to read the first portion and then we'll highlight some spots as well as we go. But as you're turning there, I need to let you know something about this passage. We need to know that this is a historical psalm. It's one of two historical psalms, and it covers a 500-year history of the children of Israel. 500-year history, all the way from Exodus to King David, where the chapter ends. And the big idea of this passage is simply to remind those who are reading it just how faithful God is. It's to remind them that God has a track record of showing up. It's good things to remember. And the author of the psalm, a guy named Asaph, is going to issue a pretty stern challenge, a pretty hard challenge to those in that day and to those of us reading it today. So we're in Psalm chapter 78. We're going to read just the first few verses. And here's what it says. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. incline your ears to the words of my mouth. So he says incline. That means lean in. That means listen closely, closer than maybe you would normally. So he challenges us to incline. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. So saying, pass this down to generation after generation, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. He doesn't want them to forget the works of God, what God has done in the past, so that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. I think if we could bring the author of this psalm, his name's Asaph, if we could bring him on stage and say, okay, would you please narrow this down for us? If you could just tell us what you mean in a few words, in one sentence, what would it be? Like, what do you want us to know? And here's what I think you might want us to know. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget. Don't forget to remember everything God has done. Don't forget to remember the past. Take some time out of your life to pause and remember what God has done. Asaph, the author, was concerned, I think specifically, with the tendencies we all have to forget, and how that we suffer from short-term memory loss when it comes to the work of God in our lives. You see, if I was to keep reading all 72 verses in this passage, you would see that it tells the rhythmic history of the children of Israel. Rebellion and then redemption. Sin and then forgiveness. Wrath and then mercy. It tells a story of how Israel was always breaking God's covenant, and God was always keeping his covenant. The author, he speaks like a prophet, urging us to listen. We must remember what God has done because we forget so quickly. The psalmist who's writing this, he's doing something very, very unique, very, very inspiring, very powerful. He's talking to the present generation, telling them to remember the past and pass the past onto the future. You have to pass the past on, is what he's saying. In other words, he's reminding them, we cannot forget what God has done in the past. Let's pass it on. Our future will be better if we understand that. Because I think Asaph knew something. I think he knew that reflection strengthens direction. That if you'll just reflect on the past, that reflection can strengthen your direction going forward. If you'll remember the good, remember what God has done. We must remember what God has done in the past so that our kids will have a future following God. Because just think about it. You wouldn't be here today if someone hadn't passed something on to you. If someone had not taken the time to remember how faithful God is and how much God loved them, if they hadn't taken the time to pass that on to you, maybe it was a friend, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it was a parent or a grandparent, but they passed on the story of God to you. They told you about this person named Jesus and this God. I want to pause just for a moment and thank God for the people who took the time to pass down the story of God to me. And I bet you've got people like that in your life. The ones who shared their faith, the ones who told me over and over and over again to just keep trusting God. I want to thank my dad, who for years pastored a little church of about 50 people and never gave up, and he just kept on passing on the stories of God over and over again. I want to thank my grandpa Porter, who every year we would travel from Texas to Michigan and spend Christmas with my grandparents. And I have the solid memory of when I was a little kid, waking up early in the morning in their house and going into the living room, and there was my granddad sitting in his chair early in the morning with his lamp on, reading the Bible. And there I was, 7 or 8 year old Nathan, probably bugging him like crazy. But I would ask him, what are you reading? And he would tell me, and he was passing on the story of God to me at a young age. I want to thank God for that. Now, 2020 has been tough. I do not have to remind you of that. It's thrown many of us into new levels of worry and new levels of stress and frustration. We know this, but maybe we need to remember some things. So let's take a few moments and remember three very specific things about what God has done. Man, don't you think it's appropriate to look back and remember some things? After all, we're coming into Thanksgiving week. What a great way to enter this week, just remembering what God has done. So based on this passage, there are three things that I believe we can remember. They're very easy to memorize. The first thing that I believe we're challenged to remember is this: his provision. In fact, if you were to skip forward and start reading in verse 13, here's what he's writing. Remember, he's going over the history of Israel with those that he's writing to. And he says, he, God, divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the water stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud and all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rocks and caused waters to flow down like rivers. See, I think we need to remember his provision. Asaph is reminding them of what God did in the past. God divided the water and they walked across on dry land. God gave them a cloud to follow for their direction so they wouldn't get lost, so they would know where to go. He provided water out of rocks. That's a huge thing. And these aren't things that we can just forget. God's provision was everywhere. And if they weren't careful, they would take for granted God's provision. Now, if we would be honest with ourselves for a moment, I think most of us would say, I've taken God's provision for granted in my own life too. And 2020 has made complainers out of a lot of us, hasn't it? Me included. But I think that's only because I so easily forget everything God has done for me. I still have a great family. I still have the best friends in the world. I haven't missed many meals, as you can see, I'm sure. I have a roof over my head still. Schooling for my kids, it's been tough, but they're still learning. And you know, every time that I've reached for a piece of toilet paper, I've had some. There's provision happening, isn't there? But seriously, amidst all the chaos of 2020, perhaps the real noise that the world should be hearing from those of us who call ourselves Christian is the noise of gratitude, the noise of thankfulness, the noise of remembering how good God has been. And I wonder what provision you have that is from God that you need to take a moment and thank him for, because he's still the God of provision. He still provides in miraculous ways. He's still for you. He still does that which cannot be explained. Our God provides. He always has, and he always will. So the first thing we need to remember is his provision. But the second thing is, let's remember this that Asaph talks about. Let's remember his protection. You skip down some verses and begin reading in verse 52, and he reminds them of something else God has done. He says, then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain with which his right hand had won. We can clearly see that God protected them many times. In fact, just before that, if you were to read it, the verses prior, Asaph goes through the 10 plagues that happened to Egypt, that God sent to Egypt. Those plagues helped set the children of Israel free. It gave them freedom from their bondage. When their enemies were just about to win, when they were just about to overwhelm them, God protected them. And he's telling them, don't forget this. Don't take for granted how God protected you. Don't forget how you were almost destroyed by your enemies. And don't forget how every time when you were on the verge of defeat, God stepped in over and over and over again. Now, there are some of you listening to me right now who you know what defeat feels like. You've been to the bottom. You've felt the crushing weight of defeat, but you are still here and you are still breathing. You've made it through some things. And I bet most of you would stand and testify and say, if God hadn't protected me, I wouldn't even be alive today. I bet there's story after story of those in this room, at our campuses, and watching online. There's story after story who you know that if it wasn't for God, you would be dead right now. I bet some of you could testify to that. See, there are those of us who've been through some things, and we should have been defeated by now. We should have given up a long time ago, but somebody helped us get through it. Somebody walked us through it. Somebody was protecting us the whole time. And I wonder if we shouldn't just take a moment to thank God for his protection. You see, he protected you also by not allowing you to have what you thought you wanted. You thought you wanted that person, and God didn't give it to you, and your life is so much better now. You thought you wanted that job, and God didn't give it to you, and now you have something even better. God had other plans. You see, he has protected us over and over and over, and I am thankful for his protection. And then the third thing, let's remember his plan. Man, we should be thankful for his plan. At the end of that passage in Psalm 78, he wraps it up this way, and he reminds them that God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. Asaph reminds them that God chose a man named David to be one of the greatest leaders the children of Israel would ever have. But this is interesting to me. We just covered a 500-year history. Now, read the whole chapter, keep it in context, read the whole thing, but we basically just covered a 500-year history of the children of Israel. And he's reminding them that it all led up to this man named David. It's almost like God knew exactly what they needed. It's almost like God was bringing all of this together to form a nation that would one day bring a man named King David, who then would one day bring a man and a God named Jesus, who would save us from our sins. I mean, it's almost like God had a plan, isn't it? You see, church, God always has a plan. From our view, it sometimes doesn't make sense. In fact, it often doesn't make sense. But he is the author of the story. And an author doesn't set out to write a story without having a plan. He has a plan. We should remember it. We can question, we can ask why, we can even doubt his goodness towards us, which we often do, don't we? But he has a plan. There was a 6-month period in my wife and I's life where things felt insane. It was rock bottom for us. We were defeated. I mean, it felt as though God had abandoned us, that God had no plan. In that 6-month period, 3 of the greatest people that we looked up to, and I'm not kidding, 3 of the greatest people that we looked up to died within that 6-month period, one of them being my dad. And it was terrible. And in the front of my Bible, I had a quote written down that I had heard or read somewhere. I don't even know who said it or where I heard it. But during that time when the world was insane and it felt like we were at rock bottom, I happened to read this quote that I had written down from years prior. And here's what it said. God wants for me what I would want if I was smart enough to know I wanted it. That's funny. It's a great quote, isn't it? It's so simple, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm not smart enough to know what I really need. And neither are you. But God wants for me what I would want if I was smart enough to know I wanted it. He must have a plan. And you may be like me, wondering why God would write the story of 2020, right? Why include this chapter, God? Like, why? Why? Explain that to us. We don't know, but I promise you, he has a plan. So I talked about the elephant a moment ago. You may have noticed the elephant graphic. We know that elephants have the best memory. Like, they never forget anything, which is a lot to live with, isn't it? Never forgetting anything. Elephants have an incredible memory. And as I was preparing for this message, I read something else about elephants that just blew me away. I thought this was crazy. Did you know that elephants, their pregnancy lasts 22 months? 22 months. That's the longest of any mammal. The average pregnancy of an elephant is about 640 to 660 days, roughly 95 weeks. A human pregnancy lasts an average of 280 days or 40 weeks on average. But mama elephants also only give birth to one elephant. It is very, very rare that they have twins, very rare. In their lifespan, an elephant may only have 2 to 4 baby elephants, all they can have in their lifetime. Now, there is a breed of possums. So this is how my mind works. I'm inviting you into my mind for a minute. There is a breed of possums, and their pregnancy lasts for 12 days, just 12 days. And with that, they can give birth to up to 25 baby possums. So again, this is how my mind works. So just imagine the elephant hearing this about the possum and getting discouraged. They only have to carry this weight for 12 days, and then they can have 25 babies? Man, that's incredible. That's a great family reunion, isn't it? But not for the elephant. It's not fair. But the elephant needs only to be reminded that their labor is giving birth to something majestic, something large, something rare. The pain, the time, the labor, it is producing something incredibly beautiful. Now let's talk about us. This has been a tough year. I think you'd agree. Maybe it's been longer than this year. Maybe you've had a tough several years. You've been hurting. You've been carrying this weight for a long time. But perhaps the struggle, the weight, the heaviness, perhaps it is going to deliver something majestic in your life. Do you believe God could have a plan? Perhaps it will give birth to something amazing. We need to remember that God has a plan. We have to remember the past. Asaph reminds us that the future is too important for us not to remember what God has done in the past. The future depends on us remembering this. So please, church, share with others how God has been there for you. Asaph sure would encourage it. Man, rather than talk about politics at the Thanksgiving Day table, which I do not recommend, rather than talk about politics, rather than talking about COVID, rather than talking about what schools should or should not be doing, what if you just shared about how good God has been to you in the past? I mean, how different might this Thanksgiving season be? What if we remembered that instead of remembering the bad? In fact, I want to specifically talk to the older Christians for a moment. Older saints, I hope you recognize that you are rich in stories. You have stories to tell and we need to hear them. We need to hear about your trials and about your temptations. We need to hear about your sin and about God's grace. We need to hear about your need and his provision. We need to hear about the greatest challenges you faced in your life, about the hardest lessons you've learned along the way, about the scriptures that you turn to sustain you. We need to hear about those. We need to hear about your life and hear about your God. We need you to keep studying the scriptures. We need you to sense a sacred duty to disciple us. And we need you to share with us the mighty deeds God has done in your life. We need you to remember them and tell them and pass them on. It's too important. There's one last picture I want to show you. And I want to take you to Langley, Virginia, the headquarters of the CIA. Here's a picture. Maybe you've seen this, maybe you've been there. It's a memory wall. And this memorial wall is located in the original headquarters building on the north wall, if you've been there. There are 133 stars carved into this wall, this marble wall. Each one represents a CIA employee who died in the line of service. Some have names that are attached in the book just below it. Some do not have names, as those are still classified, and their name may never be listed. But the wall bears this inscription: "In honor of those members of the Central Intelligence Agency who gave their lives in the service of their country." You see, there was a time when new agents were being sworn in to serve, where they were sworn in somewhere else. But recently, one of the heads of the CIA decided to move the swearing in to this lobby, and it created a lot of issues. It created security issues, safety issues, a lot of work, a lot of stuff had to change. It was a huge deal to move the swearing in to this location. But this CIA director found it to be crucial for the new officers to be reminded of the past as they set out into the future. You see, now this is where they begin their career. This is where the battle starts. This is where they start. They start it by remembering the past and remembering what has already been done, because he knew that reflection would strengthen direction. And church, we must remember what God has already done. He's brought you so far, hasn't he? And let's remember that. Let's be thankful for his provision. Let's be thankful for his protection. Over and over and over again, he's protected us. And let's be thankful for his plan, because he always has a plan. Because reflection strengthens direction. So go ahead, I give you permission to this week to reflect. Reflect on the goodness of God. Reflect how he's been there for you. Reflect on where you might be had God not come through for you. Because reflection strengthens direction. So would you close your eyes and bow your heads and let me pray for us. Father, I do want to take a moment and just say thank you. And I'm sure everybody listening to me will agree that you've put people in our life at just the right time. We want to thank you for those people. We want to thank you for those who have been there for us. We want to thank you how you have come through for us over and over again at just the right time. God, we thank you so much for your provision. As stressed as some of us might feel, as worried as some of us might be, let that not overshadow how good you've been to us. You've provided for us. We're still here. We're pressing on. God, we thank you for your protection. Where would our lives be had you not protected us? And God, we thank you for your plan. Thank you that you have a plan, that we can trust your plan, that nothing can stop you. And so God, I pray that you would help us to reflect on that this week. May the loudest noise that the world hear from us as Christians be the noise of gratitude, the noise of thankfulness. God, I thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on that cross for us. And it's in his holy name we pray. Amen.